Hey, and since it's a Monday, of course, that means it's a Mike Grimm Monday, sports director at the Minnesota News Network, and of course, the voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and football. And Mike, a good afternoon and a happy Monday.
Yeah, good Monday to you as well. Here we are. What a football weekend we saw, huh?
We will get to that in just a moment. I'm sure we could probably take 15, 20 minutes just talking about the wacky weekend that was in the NFL. But I want to start with the game against Rutgers on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
What a gutsy performance by Ben Johnson's crew. And whatever the rest of the season looks like, wherever they finish in the Big Ten standings, I think Gopher fans have fell in love with this squad and fell in love with Ben Johnson as the head coach. Did we barely have enough guys that had scholarships to play? I mean, we were barely able to get things going on Saturday, and we picked up a nice win against Rutgers.
Yeah, no doubt. And, yes, we were right at the threshold that the Big Ten requires to have seven scholarship players available. That's what the Gophers had, and that's what they played. And they ended up getting the win by three, and you're right, it was a really good effort. They were missing their leading scorer, their third leading scorer, their fourth leading scorer, and with a team that's already lacking depth, to be out those three and then to call upon some guys that quite frankly hadn't played much this year and have them produce, and then have a guy like, say, a Luke Lowy, who had been struggling. He, in the previous five games, was 6 for 29 from the field, and he was kind of fighting it, and he just looked like he was a Big Ten veteran in that game Saturday. Scored 19, which is the most he scored as a Gopher. Hit some big shots as the shot clock was winding down, and of course Peyton Willis had 32, a career high, and tied a school record with 8 3-point baskets. So, you know, to have a win like that, you got to have some things go your way. You got to shoot the ball well against a good defensive team, which they did. And, you know, they fought like crazy. And they were never, you know, I thought the key to the whole thing was getting off to a good start. It was 7-0 Gophers right off the bat. And I think at that point they knew they could hang. And they did, and they won.
Yeah, a nice win for the Gophers against Rutgers. Like Mike said, very short-handed, but they find a way to get the victory by 3 points. Final score 68-65 on Saturday, a game you heard on KATE. And Mike, let's talk about what's coming up for the Gophers. Ohio State, the Buckeyes in town at the Barn coming up on Thursday, and then Sunday at Wisconsin. We've talked about this before. There's never a night off in the Big Ten, and you got two of the top teams in the conference on the docket for this week.
Yeah, two teams ranked. Ohio State, of course, was on a bit of a pause themselves. And I found it interesting, and this is just anecdotally. I don't know if we really researched it, if it would bear out. But in the Big Ten, at least, it seems to me that teams that have gone on a pause, when they come out of the pause, they're the teams that are playing well. If you remember, Penn State was on the pause forever, and they almost, I think, coming out of that pause, upset Purdue. And I think they beat Indiana, then almost upset Purdue. Minnesota was on the pause, came out and beat Rutgers. I'm trying to remember Illinois was on the pause and came out and beat Minnesota by like 23 or whatever it was. So, you know, it seems that maybe there's something to be said for rest. I don't know what that says, but the Buckeyes had been in a bit of a pause. They had their game against Nebraska postponed on Sunday. But they're ranked 18th. Wisconsin's ranked in the top 10. Now, they lost over the weekend, so we'll see officially when the rankings come out today where they go. But those are going to be two really hard games, and the Gophers will continue to have to fight like heck to have a chance to win them. And you're right with, you know, the depth that it is, the injuries, the illnesses, we don't know who will be available Thursday for the Golden Gophers. But at some point, you know, will the tank still have something to call upon, right? Will it run empty?
Yep.
Because, you know, they had three guys play 40 minutes, basically, the other day. And it could be the same. You know, Peyton Willis didn't sit. This is one of my favorite stats of the basketball season. How about this stat, Aaron? You've got Trayton Thompson, the youngster from Glenwood, Minnesota. He played at Alexandria High School and then prepped 2 years at a prep school in Indiana. Top 150 recruit, and people were like, why isn't he playing? Why isn't he playing? And Ben Johnson and the staff just felt like he wasn't ready to get significant minutes yet. And so through 15 games, he had played a total of 28 minutes, including 11 minutes against Iowa this past Sunday. So through the first 14 games, he had played 17 minutes in the first 14 games, 28 minutes total in the first 15 games, And Saturday, he played all 40 minutes. He didn't sit one second of the game. And so, I mean, that's a remarkable stat, right? You just throw a guy in there, and he acquitted himself very well, and I'm sure will continue to earn some playing time even when the team hopefully gets back to full health at some point. But, you know, I've been – I know you asked me about Wisconsin and Ohio State, but just going back to that Rutgers game real quick, you know, this is my 16th year now doing Gopher men's basketball, and I've, you know, never take it for granted, you know that. And we've had some fun times, and there's been some good years, and obviously there have been a few valleys in there as well, and we've been through a couple of coaches. And, you know, I don't want to be held prisoner of the moment, and I'm not going to say that's the greatest win in the history of college basketball. But given the situation, given it's a first-year head coach trying to fight his way through, three starters gone on a team that's already lacking depth, and it's a good Rutgers team. This isn't the Rutgers of 8 years ago that, you know, anybody could beat. This is a Rutgers team that had beaten Purdue, had beaten Michigan, had beaten Iowa. I mean, this is a Rutgers team that's a pretty good team. And Minnesota not only held its own, but I thought deserved to win the game. They were in control of it from the start. And an undermanned, undersized game on top of our team, on top of which it was just a really fun, entertaining game, the way both teams played and hustled. Both teams had guys that were lighting it up. Geo Baker was filling it in the second half for Rutgers. It was just a highly entertaining game. It's one of the most fun days. And I'll be honest, at about 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, when the info was starting to get to me that Jamison Battle was going to be out and EJ Stevens had tested positive and we knew Curry wasn't playing, I wasn't really looking that much forward to the game, to be quite frank. You know, I mean, I never take it for granted, but I'm also like, oh man, what do we got? What's next? And it turned out to be one of my favorite days as a Gopher broadcaster. So that's why we love sports right there.
Absolutely. Gophers now 2-5 in the Big Ten, 11-5 overall. Mike Grimm, Monday here on Kate Radio. And Mike, let's get into our other topic today. We want to talk about the NFL postseason. And we've mentioned this before, the NFL is a money-making machine. Whatever they seem to do works out just right. This might have been the greatest weekend of playoff football in the history of the NFL. You have three games that finish on a field goal. You have one that's a walk-off in overtime. I mean, again, we could talk for hours about the four games that took place. How much football did you get a chance to watch this weekend?
Yeah, I watched most of it. Obviously, I missed some of that first game on Saturday. I'm trying to remember when that started, but or did I catch it all? Now I can't remember. That was at Cincinnati and
Tennessee.
And Tennessee. That's probably the one I watched the least, and then obviously watched the entire Packers game and then watched the two games yesterday. And it was just an incredible weekend of football. You know, I guess that Bengals, you know, Titans game, it did end, you know, on a last-second field goal, last-play field goal. That wasn't the greatest game ever. I mean, that was kind of a boring, you know, slosh fest with eight sacks and the Bengals still won and all that stuff. But that said, those other games are all pretty entertaining, down to the wire, good defense, good offense. But that game last night with the Chiefs and the Bills, not to be held prisoner of the moment, but that might be one of the greatest athletic events you'll ever watch in terms of drama, in terms of high-level performance from elite-level athletes, and to see how that ended. We were watching the game, and when the Bills scored the touchdown with 13 seconds left, because I had said earlier when the Chiefs scored the touchdown, when Tyreek Hill ran away from everybody, and man, what a burst of speed that was against a really fast secondary, I said they might have scored too soon.
Yep.
And they did. And then Buffalo scores with 13 seconds, and my son's sitting on the couch across from me, and he's like, I think they scored too soon. And we all laugh. You know, we're all sitting there laughing like, yeah, good joke, you know, good joke. And then sure enough, you know, boom, they two plays are in field goal range. We're in overtime, and the Chiefs win. And, man, those two quarterbacks, right? Holy cow. I mean, Josh Allen probably was the best player in the field for that given game. And Patrick Mahomes matched him, and he's going to play at home next week for a chance to go to a third straight Super Bowl. But what drama! And you're right, the NFL has it figured out. You know, that league, say what you want about the people running it and some of the things they do, but you know, with salary cap and with the number of really good players available now, I mean, up and down the board, parity's not the right word, but anything can happen, and you just normally get a lot of close games. And, boy, this weekend was it. And I haven't kept a running tally on my own personal ledger sheet as to what's the greatest divisional weekend ever in NFL playoff history. But I'd be hard-pressed, like you say, to think that there was ever one better than what we just saw the last 2 days.
Now, Mike, from a Vikings perspective, I look at two things from the weekend. The Bengals are a game away from playing in the Super Bowl. I remember week one, Vikings fans were freaking out. We got beat at Cincinnati in a game that we should have won. And second of all, speaking of the Vikings fan base, and we feel like we're cursed and we feel like we have the worst luck of any football team in the world, how about Buffalo Bills fans? Again, I mean, 13 seconds to go. Vikings fans would sit on the couch and go, that's a Vikings thing. That's what happens to the Vikings. How in the world does that ever happen to another franchise? I mean, Buffalo, they're as snake bitten as the Minnesota Vikings are.
I think someday, you know, karma should have the Vikings and Bills play in the Super Bowl, right? I think they're the only two that have never won one but lost four, right?
Correct,
now, the Bills, I think, lost four in a row. The Vikings had a couple of time in between their four losses. And you're right, you think of the Bills, so they're up with 13 seconds to go, a chance to move on to the championship, AFC championship game. You think they're in pretty good shape. And that weird stuff happens, two plays. And I wasn't a real fan of how they defended it, you know. And it's weird because the two games yesterday had people at each other's, you know, at each other's wits' end. So when the Buccaneers gave up the long play that Antoine Winfield was asked to cover, the best receiver in football, one-on-one as a safety, and it's a long pass play, and it was pretty much an all-out blitz. Everyone's like, what are they doing? All-out blitzing, just keep him in front of you, da-da-da-da. And, you know, a lot of people are always like, oh, prevent defense only prevents a victory and blah, blah, blah. Well, then last night, Buffalo goes into a prevent defense, and they throw underneath twice and get yards after catch. And people are like, oh, they had to get pressure. They needed a sack. They needed to force something. They needed to, you know, make more time. So there are no right answers, right? Each of those games are on the opposite end of, all right, we're going to play, keep it in front of us, and they lost, and we're going to blitz, and they lost. And so there, you know, to say there's any absolutes is ridiculous. But that said, you're right. And then you think back to the Music City Miracle, right? That was like 2 seconds, I think. That Tennessee and Nashville, Buffalo was that to go to the Super Bowl or was that to go to the championship? I don't remember now.
I think that was to go to the championship.
Frank Wycheck and the Titans. That was what in about 19? Was that 99? Maybe.
Not sure.
I can't remember now. But anyway, you think about those two losses in divisional series games that they've gone through. I mean, at least with the Vikings, we've had the Minneapolis miracle, and I guess the Bills did have the 35-point comeback on the Houston Oilers back in the day. Warren Moon's Houston Oilers, and Frank Wright came off the bench to relieve Jim Kelly. They were down 35 and won that game. And I don't remember if that was divisional or if that got them to the Super Bowl or what have you. But so they did have that going for them. But yeah, man, these are, you know, two of the more snake bitten franchises in terms of, you know, it's one thing to be the Lions where, you know, you're never in it. You know, I mean, seriously, I saw somebody tweet yesterday, Matthew Stafford now, last week and yesterday, two playoff wins. That is one more win than the Lions have had since 1960.
No.
So you're talking, what is that, 60, 40, that's 62 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And Matthew Stafford, who was, of course, a longtime quarterback, the Lions have won one playoff game since 1960. So it's one thing to be them. Like, yeah, they're snake bit and they're just no good ever. But the Vikings and Bills have contended, and they've tickled the Super Bowl, and they've, you know, been there close enough to almost taste it. And in the Vikings' case in 18, where they almost got to play a home Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
Which is what the Rams will be shooting for this year and what the Buccaneers got to do for the first time in NFL history last year. So, the Vikings have been close. The Bills have been close. But at some point, even maybe next year, let's do it. Let's see if the Vikings and Bills can advance to the Super Bowl.
Mike Grimm, Monday here on KATE. I know Mike's got to run. We could talk NFL playoffs for a long time. We'll talk about who's going to be in the Super Bowl next Monday on a Mike Grimm Monday. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Always enjoy it, Aaron. Thank you.